is the New Covenant and the Old Covenant. And today, here on Abounding Grace, we'll take some time to take a look at the Old Covenant and show you the differences between that covenant and the New Covenant that you and I live under. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We invite you to join us today. We are back in Hebrews as we continue our journey through this amazing book. Today, we're looking at chapter 8, verses 7 through 13. We're taking a look at this new covenant. Now, if you were with us yesterday, you'll remember we spent our time predominantly looking at the old covenant. We'll take a few more minutes to look at that and then spend our time talking about that new covenant. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon as we begin today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
He's describing here what you might say interior religion, as opposed to it merely being external. What am I describing? Well, I think you capture it with Jesus and Nicodemus, don't you? And regeneration. Remember, Nicodemus had come to him by night and saw Jesus as this good teacher, has the same mentality as the rich young ruler. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? It's the same sort of mentality of the Pharisees. And Jesus looks at him and says, I tell you, Nicodemus, truly, truly, now listen, it's so important. Unless you're born again, you cannot perceive the kingdom of God. Born from above, there's that heavenly ministry. Unless you're born from above, you cannot see, you cannot perceive the kingdom of God. In other words, unless I take your dead heart, which is merely related to me by a law written on stone, and I regenerate that heart, and I put life into the heart, you will not see the kingdom of God. And the astonishing thing right after that little discussion was, he had no idea what that was. You're a teacher in Israel and you don't know this. I've been saying it throughout the old covenant the whole time. You need circumcised hearts. This was the great battle of Jesus and the religious leaders of the day. This is the great battle in religion today. Who thought they pleased God by establishing righteousness because they're just generally good moral people and they're obedient to the law of God. It was a nasty fight, wasn't it? In the Gospels. They never had any joy. They were always complainers and grumpy. Their traditions were of more importance than the Word of God. They exalted them. Jesus was constantly going after it. Here's the big thing. Nothing they did was out of sincere love for God. What was the heart of the commandments? Love. What did God say? What was the promise? In Deuteronomy 32. I'll do it. I will circumcise your hearts so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, your children, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. Now, when the New Covenant says the law is written on the heart, that is opposed to a lifeless religion of duty with no love. But don't miss it. It's not just saying in the New Covenant, I put the law on the heart so that you can establish your own righteousness again. That's not what it's saying. None of this is possible apart from faith. This is Romans 10. That's the gift of the new covenant. It's faith. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, there it is again, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Now listen, for Christ is the end of the law, the goal of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness that's based on the law, that the person who does the commandment shall live by them. There's that principle. Do this and live. But the righteousness based on faith, says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. What does it say? The word is near you. Where is that word? On stones? The word is near you. In your mouth? Profession of faith? As it comes out of what? And in the heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So in the heart one believes and is saved. That's the gift of God in the new covenant, promised through Abraham. And throughout the old covenant, anyone who looked by faith had this. And what changes now? We do the commandments of God out of love for him in response. That's the life changed by the Spirit. And he is absolutely committed in the new covenant by the Spirit to transform us into the image of his Son. That's what is captured. We're being transformed into the likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. That's the new covenant ministry of the Spirit. That's what he's doing. And that's my challenge to you today. When you're truly saved, and you're living by faith, and you've been given regenerated hearts, and again, we need to preach regeneration more. You must be born again. You could come here for years and still be relating to God with the law written on stone. No heart. You're just dead. When you're truly saved, the heart of stone is replaced with a heart of flesh, a soft heart, a heart that's given life. What does that look like? The heart that is the heart of stone only relates to God in light of the law written on stone. There's no real relationship there. It's just not there. There's no life there. Someone like this would say, I just find no joy in any of this. There's a burden to this. You're not really here because you want to be here. There's fear. It's one of empty routine and duty. That's why we have this endless battle in Jesus in the ministry with religious traditionalism and formalism. And those things can, traditions can be good according to the word. And being formal is not always bad. But religious traditionalism and formalism was a great opponent to this ministry of the Spirit and life in the heart. And when you're born again and you're given life and sincere love flows, you're not saying, oh, worship is such a burden. I can't believe I'd be called to worship. Or, you know, because God and our family will notice we're not here. That's why we come. That's relating to God with all kinds of bad things. True heart religion loves the Lord. Comes to his house because we're in his presence. It's not a burden to us. I love the Lord's house. I love his people. That's how you know. The real change has taken place when you really begin to love this new family that's been given to you. The Jews didn't love their neighbor. Jesus was going after that. They didn't love God. True religion says, I do all this because I'm immensely grateful for this indescribable gift. That characterizes the people of the new covenant who are born again by the Spirit. That's life. Remember, Jesus kept saying, I've got to give you life, and you'll have life, and you'll have it most abundantly. He who comes to me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That's the first promise of the new covenant. The first promise is the word of God written on the heart. And it's beautiful. I see it in you. When you hunger and thirst for righteousness and thirst for his word, I see it. That is, you could never produce that. And we as parents have to recognize that with our children. No matter, you could raise your children perfect, or you could be a pretty dud of a dad. The Lord has to regenerate the heart. Life has to be put there. That's the promise of this. Did you notice that it said that there? Where it includes our little ones in this and their offspring? I mean, it's just beautiful when he says these things. What's the second promise of the new covenant? We'll know the Lord. Will know the Lord. Listen to it. I will be your God, and you will be my people. You know, you just kind of have to say that every morning when you get up. That's how you preach the gospel to yourself. That's the formula of the covenant. Boys and girls, say this in the morning. From the least of them to the greatest is talking about you, children all the way to the oldest. That's my God. I am his. I belong to him. He bought me. I don't have the option to go do what I'm tempted to go do. I'm his. And notice this. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. When Jesus gave his high priestly prayer, that's what he prayed. That was the heart of his high priestly prayer for you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. The greatest gift of the new covenant is that we will actually know the Lord. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount last day, Jesus was thundering down the law on Israel in the Sermon on the Mount. And there's an awful statement on the last day toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Many will come to him and rehearse that they did all these things in the kingdom. I was on boards and I was good and I did all this stuff in the church and I did all these things. He will say, I do not know you. There was no saving knowledge of the Lord to him or back. What am I talking about? Knowing the Lord. You know what he's like to you. You know him in the face of Jesus. And you know what's been given to you. That's how you know him. It's absolutely beautiful, isn't it? Jeremiah, let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. Now, what do you need to know? What does he say right after that? That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love. That's covenant love. Justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these I take delight, declares the Lord. Who does he take delight in? Those who know his covenant love. That's how you know him. You don't anymore live in fear that he's ready to strike you down as Israel did when they received the law written on stone, because that's how you've related to him. You see? I've often thought that when the Lord was describing this in the parable of the talents, I thought it always captured this so beautifully. There were two kinds of people in the kingdom. They were given talents, and they were to go out and to use those little opportunities to serve in his kingdom. And the master came home one day, and Jesus describes them. And remember the first two servants? Remember the language of the first two servants when they came back to their Lord? Master, you gave me all this. Remember what he said? Look it, I went out and I made double the money. And he who received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. See, he's excited. See, look. I have made 5 talents more. You get a sense of what a privilege it was to be in your kingdom and in your house and to serve you. They loved the master. Thought it was great to be able to be in his kingdom. But the other came back and had buried his talent. Listen to his response. Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. That's someone relating to God by the law written on stone. They don't know him. They don't know him. You're cruel. You're hard. No one can ever please you. Who can do this? He didn't know how wonderful the Lord was. God's children will know him from the least to the greatest and take great delight in hearing, I am your God and you're my people. You know, look at what God has done for us and our children. You know, can't you prove this right here in the Escondido URC? Look at all these children who run around. They believe. We get to teach them Sunday school classes. We have all these opportunities to grow. And we have sermons, and we've got a whole community devoted to doing what? One great thing. One great thing. Making known the Lord. And that's a great priority for godly parents, isn't it? And it should be a priority for adults to continue to grow in that knowledge and all these opportunities. The Lord's proven this in here in this community. Of all he's saving, all those given to him by the Father, they know him and their children. That's the beauty of this. That's what's being said here to us. That's the heart of the new covenant, what the Lord is like to us. It's not saying we don't teach anymore. What it's saying is that he is known in this covenant. And we're proof of that. I just think it's beautiful. It's wonderful. There's one more promise this morning. Close with this. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more. What a scary thing to have your sins remembered. On the new covenant can't be broken. Because as we've been considering, we have a high priest who's seated in heaven, and by the one sacrifice has made atonement and sat down, so it's over. It's paid for. It's paid in full. It's finished. There's nothing else you need. Nothing else that needs to be done. It's impossible for that to be taken away from you. So what does the new covenant mean? As far as the east is from the west, Psalm 103 anticipated this. So far have I removed your transgressions from you. I don't hold them against you. A pastor was given a story of a man who owed a great debt. And every time he saw his debtor, he tried to run away from his debtor. Because every time he saw his debtor, the guy kept reminding him, you owe me. You owe me. You pay up. God never does that. He doesn't come and say, I know what you did. And you still owe me. All those terrible things in your past, pay up. He remembers our sins no more. Israel didn't live in enjoyment of that if they were looking to their own righteousness. And the Mosaic, what we say administration, teaches us that. So you see how wonderful it is of what we're involved with. The Hebrew Christians were thinking of going back. They were thinking of giving up. How many people want to give up today in all this hardship? And they're turning away from Jesus. And what do you have if you turn away from Jesus? He'll remember your sins. Well, he says in closing, speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete is growing old and ready to vanish away. That's what happened in AD 70. The time Hebrews is writing this, he's thinking of AD 70 when the temple was finally torn down. And he wants you to relate to God now on the wonderful, in the wonderful gospel of his Son, who is our temple, who is our life. And that's what he's calling us to today. So look to Jesus for righteousness, for life. And in all the hardship that's going on in the world right now, think about it. Think of what's just been preached to you. We, of all people, are optimistic because we belong to a kingdom that can't be shaken. The God of heaven and earth, we know. The God of heaven and earth has included us and our children. And the God of heaven and earth has promised that he remembers our sins no more. So next time you complain about President Biden, you remember that. He is our God, and we are his people, and we know him in the face of Jesus Christ.
The broadcast is simply entitled Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Closing out today's broadcast, we are mindful of the fact that questions or comments may exist after listening to the broadcast today. If that is the case, we look forward to corresponding with you. Please feel free to do so through our website, or if you wish, simply give us a call. The website that you can find us at is agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Our phone number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. You will also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Visit our website for links to those platforms that you like to follow. You will also be able to listen in on past programs you might have missed. Again, it's all found at agradio.org. And then we're looking for those who got an interest in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio. AG Radio is listener supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life and others spiritually. So if you are someone who sees the value of this broadcast for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large. Whether it's a one-time gift or reoccurring, it all sustains this program right here on this radio station. So would you consider that as you reach out to us at agradio.org or by calling 888-504-8805. You're also welcome to write to us. You can send your donation to Abounding Grace Radio, Post Office Box 732. Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Well, to close out our time together today, let's catch up with Pastor Chris once again for a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you for all your goodness, all your blessing, all your kindness to us in the covenant of grace, and for forgiving our sins all the way as those Old Testament saints look to Christ and receive the same thing, who are trusting and living by faith. So now we get to enjoy all of this in fulfillment. And so we praise you and thank you for so great a salvation. And we pray, Lord, if there are any here who, and it's the most difficult thing as we see among the people of Israel, that if we've been raised in it, that we take it all for granted and still relate to God on the law written on stone. If there are any dead hearts here today, give life. And I pray that they would come to the Savior. And we anticipate, even though we still struggle with sin, and as we confess our sins, you continue to forgive our sins. We anticipate the great day in glory when this will be fully realized. This is an everlasting covenant. And that in glory, we will love you in perfection, which is right now what our changed hearts have begun to enjoy. We bless the name of the Lord today. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. Well, tomorrow, what worship looks like under the new covenant. Join us then for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.